So hello everybody, it's that time of the week for a bit of inspiration, and my goodness, if you are looking out and it's grey, it's miserable, and if you're feeling grey and miserable inside as well, then what you need is...
Enterprise, 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 it's the Enterprise-ian Show!
Today we're going to talk about what gives us inspiration, and to give me inspiration, we have a lovely guest, Cooley Newell. Have I pronounced that correctly, Cooley?
You have, Ian. Hello.
Hello. And we have the regulars, Fiona, Kevin
Hello,
and Matthew,
yay.
All full of energy, I see. Okay, Cooley. So I should explain, I've known Cooley for a long time, but we kind of lost contact. And then she started, this is unusual, she started putting out posts on LinkedIn. Now, most of the posts on LinkedIn are really dull and boring and self-promoting. There's some good ones, but Cooley's are full of sunshine and funny. And I thought, here's a person I need to get back in touch with. So welcome to the show, Cooley.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, let's start at the beginning and ask you.
Who are you?
I am Cooley. I am Estonian originally, and I moved to Scotland in 2004 when my independent country had become a member of the EU and I was allowed to come here.
Because you were previously under Soviet domination, weren't you?
Yes, indeed. And so I met a Scotsman through my previous job and here I came.
And still here. And then you ended up going back to work for the European Commission.
Yes. I'd been home with children for about 7 years and I've taken all the tests because it's hugely competitive to become an European civil servant. What else do you do when you have children at home? You know, you study and take exams, obviously. And so that's what I did. And I was offered a job in with the European Commission and I moved to Brussels.
And in my seminal book, How to Quit the Employee Habit and Be Your Own Boss, I highlight one point that one of the rules, one of the things that happens when you work for yourself and in life is you never can tell. So along comes a thing called...
Brexit.
You can interpret that in whatever way you want. That can be a boo of derision or it can be a cheer if you happen to be a swivel-eyed loony who is a big Brexit supporter. So you know where I'm going with all of this. And it forced you to reevaluate. So what do you do now?
I am a coach.
Oh, sorry, hang on. Wrong sound effect. Oh, sorry, Cooley. You meant a business coach.
I did retraining as an executive coach and I help people to maybe step out of the employee habit and dream bigger and know that there is another life out there.
The Big Three.
At this stage, we always ask three questions and the first one is...
One. Are you having fun?
Are you having fun now?
So much fun. It is not comparable. I always had that feeling whenever I have had great jobs. I've had great fun in other jobs as well, but I always knew there was more to life than that.
The next question is, are you making money?
Not yet.
How long have you been going?
I finished with my European Commission job on the Brexit day. So it's coming up to a year. Actually, a little bit less. And obviously, it started with the lockdown and three children at home.
And the last question is...
Three!
Are you living a better life?
Much better. Thank you.
So talk us through how the idea to become executive coach happened. What did it actually involve? Did you have to train? Did you just decide to do it? What drew you to it in the first place? And did you actually do it because you thought... it was something you'd be good at and make money, or did you do it because you thought you would make money at it first and be good at it second?
Definitely just that I am good at it. Money wasn't like a factor. It's funny because I should have done something similar, either become done a psychology degree and become a mentor or counselor or something a long time ago. And so when I told my best friends that, okay, I'm going to go into coach training, they said, oh, you've done it all your life. Now you just have a certificate for it. So I've always loved kind of motivating people and asking lots and lots of very direct questions to get to the bottom of how they think and what are their beliefs that they are carrying, and kind of getting underneath that and to help them see the world from a different perspective and maybe open it up a little bit. Because when you're brought up in under a communist regime, they try to narrow our thinking down very much. I think people had very rich inner lives because you couldn't say anything out loud. You had to be very careful how you worded things. You know, it's maybe this attitude that now I can do whatever I want. There is freedom of speech. Nobody's going to tell me off. I know some people are not going to like my posts on LinkedIn, and some will find that this is much better than what some others do. And there are people who think like me, and there are people who never like me, but I don't, you know.
How repressive was the atmosphere when Estonia was under Soviet control?
You couldn't say a thing wrong, and you had to be very careful. As children at home, we were already trained, don't say this at school. Because if you said something that could be interpreted as against the regime, the parents were called to school immediately.
Once that looking over your shoulder formally goes away, the habit will still be with you.
What I'd say is that, you know, when we became independent again in 1991, we declared independence. Then for a few years, there was no government even properly. Of course, government was in place, but we had to build up our own state systems and our own like public and private sector from scratch, because in Soviet Union, obviously, we didn't have private sector at all. Everything was state-owned, including the house you lived in. So there was a lot of people who found, you know, obviously they were in their maybe mid-40s, 50s, who couldn't then change suddenly, that they have to start doing something by themselves. Everything had been provided by the state. And a lot of people, I would say, stayed behind. And then there were those people who took real advantage of the situation that now we can do. And I was very lucky that my parents have set a good example to me. My mom completely changed her career in her mid-40s, and so did my dad. So I know what it means to change your career totally after 20 years of being in one job or in one area of life. I was never taught actually how to be an entrepreneur, and that wasn't a thing at all. And even my parents, when I now said, oh, I'm going to change career, and as I said, they weren't very, like, they were surprised that I gave up a good job, and that they still have fear, whereas I've learned, I think, that I know I live once.
And when you decided to start, now it is interesting, you talk about being a coach, I would talk about you starting your own business. Which would you describe it as?
If you want to be a coach, you have to start your own business. It's what it is. I so wanted to be a coach. I love what I do. I have a lot of fun. I enjoy seeing people transforming under my eyes. And if I have to learn how to have my own business on the side, then that's what it is. I have to love that side at all. And I've worked in civil service, also in Estonian civil service, in British civil service. I always questioned people. Like, I questioned my superiors, saying, why are we doing things we are doing? And they would say, oh, that's how we've always done them. And it irritated me. And now I'm grateful every day that I can do any day what I like. I can change my mind. I can say, this isn't working. I'm not keeping, like, I won't keep doing this because it's not working. I'll change.
They say entrepreneurs see the world the way they want it to be, not the way it is. Kevin, did you see the world you wanted it to be as opposed to the way it is?
Well, it's interesting because today I was asked to write an article about which is called Beyond the Closet. 40 years in a closet and then coming out and then being yourself. Almost like when I reached the big 5-0, I always wanted the courage to set up my own business, but I never thought I could. And I thought, well, it was now or never. It's given me lots of ample time to to look back at what I did before, what I'm doing now, and running my own business, I genuinely say that you get to work with people that you really want to work with. I mean, it's fantastic people here today. You could just be yourself. And if a client doesn't like it, they can say, well, push off. But if you're working for an employer and you were sort of bullied in the particular job, you know, you think, oh, my salary at the end of the month, I can't do it, you know. But I think it's the best thing ever.
I have always found that the hardest bit of being on your own, starting your own business, is actually that point in the day, week, month where everybody gets it. It's finding the energy to find the energy. And you need something to give you inspiration.
Yeah, people so, like you, everybody here. Yeah. This is where you get the, but where this do is where I get the energy so, from.
It's like two tribes. There's the tribe of people who work for themselves or run businesses, and there's the tribe of people paid for by somebody else. And within that tribe where you work for somebody else, there's a sub-tribe of people wanting to escape. And you can get tremendous energy from them. And you can also get good energy from people who actually love what they're doing and like helping other people, which is, you know, interesting itself. But you never get the anarchic energy that you need to keep you going. And I was going to say, Cooley, you wrote a lovely piece about not doing New Year's resolutions, but doing New Year's, what did you call it?
Intentions.
Well, what were your New Year's intentions?
Keep having fun. Like, don't get bogged down with negative people. Set my boundaries. And obviously, I have my plans to grow my business. So I want to, my biggest intention is to have group coaching programs. It's an intention. If it doesn't happen, it's fine. I'll do it the year after. That's my intention. I cannot fail. I can prepare for it, but I cannot fail.
I love the fact that the thing about an intention is you don't fail and you don't beat yourself up. Kevin, did you have any good New Year's intentions, resolutions?
Just concentrate on the really nice people that you really get on with. So my intention is to work with people that I like, who I can sort of associate and feel that we got that sort of chemistry, and also work in a dressing gown as well. I think everybody should have a dressing gown.
Of course, Matthew. Oh, I got a caftan this year, but we might show that later on. Matthew, did you have any good intentions?
Well, I made a resolution about 10 years ago when I started my business. And that resolution was never to make resolutions ever again. And I kept that one. I haven't broken that resolution.
Do you feel better for it?
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, there was also a slight intention this year. And that was I would sack one client. That's not Kevin, by the way.
Oh, you sacked a client?
I have, yes.
Oh, I'm a client.
And what was that like? Have you sacked a client, Cooley?
As a coach, you have a first session always to see whether your chemistry fits or not.
That's a very diplomatic way of putting it. So you sacked a... How did you feel when you sacked them, Matthew?
The thing is, this person was a friend. And you know when it's... sorry, this is not Kevin. This is not Kevin.
It's me.
But... The thing is that this person was a friend who, he's very nice, but the thing is, he just takes advantage all the time.
Fiona?
If you work for yourself, I appreciate that you can't always, in an environment like we are in just now with COVID, work. But I've been able to work all the way through, and it's really made me appreciate being able to work for myself, because I think I would have gone absolutely stir crazy if I couldn't work. But also, it's made me realise how wonderful it is to work for yourself, because you can be flexible.
Do you think, all of you, there's a pressure on you to conform to a particular way of working, to keep the clients happy, to be nice to people? Because I've got a take on this, and I'm going to tell you how I'm going to market it in a minute. But Cooley, with you, do you feel that there's a code that you... a style of behaviour that's expected from coaches?
I don't think so. We have so our own. I have my own code of ethics, and my every client, I will tell them in advance, like, what to expect with me. And I promise to be 100% authentic and turn up with 100% of me and do my work so that I can be the best coach for them. That also includes me learning constantly new things, bringing new things for them. And that's my promise to them.
Fun and inspiring. That's Enterprise Ian's new book, How to Kick the Employee Habit and Be Your Own Boss. Out now at www.kicktheemployeehabit.com.
Kevin, in the PR world, is there a pressure to conform to what people think PR is all about, or the agents? Are you allowed to be yourself and get people drawn to you for what you are?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I call myself the PR hat man, though I'm not wearing any hats today. There is a little bit of that, but I think, you know, you have to be yourself, and people buy into
now,
you.
Did you learn that, or did you start out with that from the beginning?
No, I've learned that. Because when Matthew said he sacked or he got rid of somebody he didn't, and it wasn't me again, but I've had a client like that as well, where, you know, the expectations, there's always that, you promise to deliver, but there's always, they want more and more and more and more and more, where, you know, at the end of the day, I'm running a business, so you have to make a living as well. You can be bullied by some people, though I've got great clients, but sometimes we all make mistakes, and I made a mistake of working with a particular client that didn't work for them, didn't work for me, and I always think that, you know, if it doesn't work, then you can say goodbye.
Fiona, you have to deal with difficult people all the time, don't you?
Oh, I've got a very difficult client. No names.
I'm dying to hear how she actually gets rid of those.
I'm too nice and too diplomatic at the moment.
But that is actually part of what you offer, that you are nice and diplomatic and efficient.
I know. But when you first start out, for me anyway, when I first started out, I kind of felt I had to take every piece of work that I was offered, because you feel you have to, well, to make money, I suppose, and to get out there and get known. And it takes a while to realise that there are some people, like you were saying, Kevin, that they do become bullies. I had one particular client many years ago, and I really did not enjoy the job. And unfortunately, it was quite a long job. I did not enjoy the job because the person was a bully, and they made me feel very uncomfortable and quite stressed. So I decided after that I wasn't, no matter how lucrative, I wasn't going to do it.
You, Fiona, Kevin, Matthew, how did you learn to ditch the dementors, the vampires that suck your energy, the parasites that, because you're nice, all the people I work with are nice, but sometimes there's some really not pleasant people. And I remember years ago, starting working with this guy that I thought was great fun, this could be really good fun, we could be very buzzy. And then we were out, I think we'd been doing something, and then we went for a drink, and then he explained how he was going to improve me and my business. And he started off, he said, you see, the thing is, Ian, you're jaggy. You're only going to appeal to 20% of the people. And I think what we need to do is smooth you down a little bit and change the offering. And that way we'll attract much more people. So you'll go from just getting 20%, we'll move it up to 60%, and then we can really build on it on 80%. And I thought, you're just a salesperson. The only thing you understand is volume. You don't understand product. You don't understand marketing. You are one of these people that goes into the room. They love networking sessions. And a sign of their success is the number of business cards and details they've got. And they call it the funnel. And what they do is they suck you into the funnel and then filter your way through. And I remember I'm actually saying, so what we've got is we start with 1,000 people and we'll do all of this and we'll give them an offer, and that 1,000 will come down to maybe 500. And out of that 500, we'll get 300. And out of that 300, we'll get 100, and then we'll get 25. But they'll be really good clients. And I went, I've got no interest in this. But actually, you're under pressure from those individuals to behave, because they are very strong and very dominating. So how do you get the ideas and inspiration to dump them? How did you dump your duff client, Matthew?
So I finished off the project, because I believe in finishing stuff. and I've invoiced him, and I've that's been it.
You solved it in a way that suited you, didn't you?
Yeah. I'm not going to stand down. I'm a bit too stubborn. And...
but you did it. It was your style. I mean, my style would probably have been, oh, fuck off. Yeah. You know, and actually, I don't do that often. I reach the point where people know when I'm really angry because I go really quiet. And when I'm really quiet, and then I go dead cold. And actually, I don't lose my temper. I go, no, I don't think so. And go bang, 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 bang. And that's the end of it. But I hate getting into that situation. So I couldn't manage it. And actually, there's also something else. I think for some people, they've got to finish it as opposed to letting somebody else do it. Kevin, how have you... or is it, again, it's a natural, do you lose clients because you just know that it doesn't fit? But how do you psych yourself up to do it? Because well, it's draining.
It is emotionally draining as well. And I think, you know, the idea when you set up a business is that you want to work with people you want to work with and you want to feel that ease. And then 8 years of me running a business, it's only been twice, two particular clients that's not worked for me. And I delivered the job, but they didn't want to pay. So that was one. But the second one, that was where I was getting bullied. It just reminded me of why I left a job to set up my own business. It felt like I was an employee again, the way I was being bullied by the client. And it wasn't working for me. I waking up feeling really upset And in the end, I just knew it wasn't going to work. And I sat down with the client and I said, this is not working, and the contract is over.
I would like to ask, before the relationship gets so, like, irreparable, do you say? Or yes. That you have to sack, at what point you could have set your boundaries? At point you already had the feeling, this is not going how I would like it to go. This is the point to start thinking, how could I word it better and set my boundaries?
Fiona, when you had that horrible client, did you set boundaries? Are you just so grateful you've got the work?
I think at that time it was. That particular client kind of sort of passed on to me and I kind of took them on. But I think the boundaries, I could probably say for me, that how I could probably have learned better was you because most of the jobs I did was that you pitch for a job and you had a contract, is to learn to make sure that I've got particular points in the contract so that you're not being walked over. That's maybe a bit woolly, but in terms of clients, that particular client, I finished the contract, and if anything came up again, I just wouldn't pitch for it.
Ordinarily, I always go by my gut reaction. It's almost like from here rather than, and the time when the two times that it let me down because I ignored what my gut reaction was telling me.
So many people running their own business adopt the approach of dog looking for dinner. I'm not getting anything else. I'll just take this. Cooley, give us some inspiration. What inspires you before we all go?
People. I'm a people person.
So where do you get that? I mean, is it you? But it has to be, it can't be any people.
No, it is that my people. I know when I'm writing my posts, I know I'm talking from my heart and trying to reach the people who understand what I'm talking about. Not everybody, but just those few.
So find people that give you the energy, that your people, that give you a laugh?
Yes, absolutely. I laugh all the time. I don't really have a choice. My children inspire me a lot of the time. They make me laugh.
Oh, fantastic. Kevin.
I tell you what inspires me. You always know, recently going to the dentist, I was sat in there and the nurse was by the chair and all of a sudden she was talking about, we were talking about COVID and we were talking about she was inoculated and all of a sudden it sort of turned to toilet humour. I've never met this lady ever before, but you know, we had that connection. She said she actually had an injection up her backside. And of course we were laughing about backsides. So you always know when you meet somebody, it's that person to person. you know, once again, it's that gut where you get to feel when you're. And people like that inspire me. You know, people who are just themselves.
I actually find going for a walk in the countryside and picking leaves from hedges, which I eat later, because I find foraging such a good calming thing. And whilst I'm doing it, I'm thinking about other things. I just love foraging. It puts my mind in the right place.
Do you know, it's funny because Fiona, I'll come to you in a second. I was just thinking, a few weeks ago on the show, we had lovely Susan Granfield talking about mindfulness and calm and space. And here we are talking about stuff that winds us up. And you're the only person that's talked about stuff that calms you down. Fiona, I mean, where do you get your inspiration from?
I wouldn't have known how to answer that question, but it is really obvious from what Cooley and Kevin are saying. It is people. It's how you interact with people. It's the people that you a boost off that you just get inspired by, or they inspire something in you, and you just end up maybe coming off a phone call and you feel really, really good, and it just changes your whole outlook on the whole day and maybe even what you're working on.
Does anybody actively seek inspiration at any point because you know you're down? Cooley?
Yes, definitely.
What do you do?
On my very down days, I have to admit that I tell myself not to work. I say, you have the right, because you're running your own business now, you can take a day off, have a bath, have a walk.
Kevin?
So I was going to crack a joke, so a bottle of gin.
That'll do, Matthew.
Guitar.
Oh, yeah. Fiona?
Zumba.
I will end by telling you that yesterday I was feeling really quite low, and along the telly was on in the background, and the Sun Life advert came on. I don't know if you've seen it. It's a classic of its kind. It's a guy in the conservatory, and his daughter comes in and goes, "Hello, Dad, here's June from next door." And June says, "Hello, whatever his name is. You got some mail. Oh, that's my Sun Life over 50s life protection and funeral care regenerator." And I went, oh, this is dreadful. So I did what I did, because I'd seen it several times and it was beginning to annoy me. I typed in that dreadful Sun Life advert, and do you know, up came utter inspiration. A man had dedicated a blog site called Really Bad Adverts. And he was writing about the advert on the Sun Life one. And how good it was is he actually put is, the first question everybody asks about Brian is he fucking June? We don't really know. So, and the minute I read that, I was off. So I started reading. And let me tell you, sometimes that's the kind of thing that can make you feel so much better. Just somebody going off, creating another world of absurdity. And you go, yeah, he's really got it. And I closed the laptop down, put the things away and felt so much better. Which is my way of saying thank you to you all for taking part today. Big round of applause for Cooley. Thank you, Matthew, Fiona and Kevin, for your contributions. Have you enjoyed the show, Cooley?
Very much. Thank you. It was good.
And you'll
fun.
Come back and we'll humiliate you again. Right, on that happy note.
You've been listening to the Enterprise Ian Show. Join the club at www.enterpriseian.scot.